Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Book Show, episode 491. We were just rapping over here. There were animals. It was a whole thing. I'm Brian Cohen from Best Page Forward, joined by Claire Taylor from FFS Media. Claire, it is the joyous occasion of fall soon. We are very happy to be moving in this direction. Book sales do tend to go up a little bit in the fall as people are no longer doing their summer vacation thing. What is something that authors should be fired up for this fall?
Brian, I hope authors are fired up for my liberated writer course. But yeah, increased book sales. I mean, the Liberated Writer course is a great time to just sort of like reevaluate where we're at in our career, what we may not be satisfied with, what we might want fresh results from. The problem is that we say, I want something different as a result of my actions, but I want to keep doing the exact same actions and get a different result. Mm-hmm. And that can be really hard. You know, of course, when you look at it like that, it's like, well, of course, try something new. It can be really hard to figure out what new thing to try. And then you have, you know, a million different voices going, try this. And this is about figuring out what would be sort of a healthy and productive, you know, shift that you could do in your career that's going to get you fresh results and make you maybe excited to write again.
I love that idea. Liberatedwriter.com. Awesome. I don't have anything to pitch. So let's go into... I'm just excited to be here.
Great. Let's I'm excited to be here as well, Brian.
Oh, thank you, Claire. All right, let's go into the previous week's question. What are some parts of the industry that stress you out and are outside of your control that you can spend less time worrying about? Lorna Tedder said, the routine drama in various writer communities that usually includes screenshots of private conversations and the followers of one author, provider, or faction trying to cancel the other author, provider, or faction. Everything from private collaborations gone bad to services not delivered to polarization around AI. It's true, Lorna. None of that is in our control, and we can spend way less time worrying about it.
Yep, love that. And then Caribou Buziak said, copyright infringement. I only hunt for stolen art every few months now rather than frequently. It's too much of a depressing rabbit hole of horror to deal with daily. Rabbit hole of horror.
That was my favorite movie, Rabbit Hole of Horror. That stuff is such any of the copyright stuff, whether it be art or words, it's definitely something that 99% of the time we do not need to worry about.
And it will take as much attention as you give it.
Yes.
And still demand more.
Yes. Yes. It's very good at that. All right. Well, let's get into the top story. Obviously, you can respond to the question of the week over at sellmorebookshow.com or in the comments section for our Sell More Book Show After Party post, the Facebook group. But let's get into the top story of the week, a great topic near and dear to all of our hearts. How to rediscover the joy of writing. What happens when you love to write but lose the joy? According to K.M. Weiland from Helping Writers Become Authors, remembering or discovering why you want to write in the first place is the key. Did you want to make the world a better place, entertain, or create a lifestyle for yourself? Have you always wanted to be published, have stories read by others, or create art? That might be why you started, but after years of writing and learning, it's common to get off track from your initial reasons. At some point, you might have to ask yourself, quote, is this really why I'm writing? End quote. Maybe it is, but it's also likely that your current reasons are different, and they might not bring you the joy that keeps you writing like before. Quote, Is there a way you can learn how to rediscover the joy of writing you experienced way back at the beginning of your journey? Asks Weiland. Or can you feel joy in the journey itself? Quote, whether we're writing purely for entertainment and escape, or as an attempt to explore and make sense of the human experience, writing is one of our most powerful tools for healing, growth, and transformation. Claire, do you agree?
Yeah, I haven't thought much about this topic, Brian, so I'll have to gather my thoughts here. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. And I love the part about how your reason for writing can change. And part of that is due to the healing, growth, and transformation that we're going through. So it may be filling one unmet need. And then as you grow and you address that need, there may be something different that comes up. There always is something different, a new need that comes up. But that writing could fill as well. So maybe you can shift your focus from, okay, well, I don't need to keep writing to, you know, express this part of me. I can shift over and write to express this other part of me. And so staying connected to your emotional needs is how you know when it's time to pivot and find a new motivation or a new, you know, sort of reason to be writing the next book, which is obviously what I work with authors on.
Right. I mean, I love this thought that, you know, writers so often are worried about selling out and worried about commercializing their art and all of that. But to me, this kind of seems to say, if you remain in touch with the reason why you're writing, or you evaluate how your reason for writing has changed over time, you're allowed to have projects that make you money. You're allowed to have projects that are marketable. I mean, does that track?
Oh, absolutely. I sent out an email recently to my list about the three sort of childhood needs that the Enneagram explores, which are autonomy, attention, and security. And certain types are more geared towards certain childhood needs that probably were unmet, and that the degree to which they're unmet is sort of relevant to the degree to which we're still seeking them now. And so for attention, you know, sales can feel like attention. Selling a lot of books can feel like attention. Whereas, you know, it could be security. A lot of book sales could make you feel secure if you're having more money come in. It could also be, you know, reinforcing your idea of autonomy. If you have enough money, you can just do whatever you want, right? So there's, you know, all kinds of reasons within at least the Enneagram that it explains in its theory of how we are connecting to money, how we are connecting to our writing, and how it's fulfilling something within us, and how the more connected we can become to ourselves, the more connected we feel to our writing.
Makes a lot of sense, and it makes me think about my unmet childhood needs.
I can tell you what yours is off air.
I know what mine is on air. But we can talk about it off air too, because goodness knows I need it. We got some hot potatoes of wisdom here. Claire, what have you done to regain your writing mojo at times when you've lost the joy of writing?
Okay, so when I go through the phases where writing is not so fun and it's starting to feel like a chore, there are a few things that I'll try. The first thing is generally I'll try and push through. Now, you can guess how many times that makes it more fun when I beat myself up. So after I remember, like, hey, this never works, then I usually will take a break. Just give myself a break from it. Just give myself a break until sort of the negative, fuzzy, you know, staticky feeling every time I sit down at the computer is no longer there. And then I want to reconnect with the story. So that can be brainstorming something really funny to put in it. And I'll do that when I'm doing something else or just sitting in a hammock. you know, brainstorm something really funny to put in it. Remember what the theme was about and how do I feel about that theme right now? And just do stuff sort of away from the computer to really reconnect with it. And then sometimes I just need to go get a good sweat on somewhere, you know, because it's not about the story. So sometimes it's about the story, sometimes it's not about the story. And so figuring out, have I lost that joy because there's too many other things getting my attention? Or have I lost that joy because I am struggling with this story in some particular way, is kind of the sorting process that I do. And then depending on whatever the diagnostic conclusion is, I will go do that thing. And it can take some time and it can be very frustrating to not be able to figure it out right away. I mean, I'm very grateful that right now I'm in a moment where I'm having a lot of joy writing. And so, you know, if you've been in a marriage, you know, you fall kind of in and out of love a few times and it's just really great. You just hold on when you're not feeling it and it'll come back around again.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that the knowledge that pushing through will only take you so far should hopefully speak to many of our listeners.
Yes, it can get the words done, but it's not going to get you your joy back.
Right, right.
So, yeah, that's, if you just want joyless work, there are probably more high-paying jobs out there with some security.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, how have your reasons for writing changed over your writing career?
So my reasons for writing have definitely changed a lot. When I first started writing, I was kind of just trying to express myself. I was trying to share some of my ideas, but I had a very nebulous idea of what I even wanted to do with that. And I've come around to here in 2023, I want to help people while entertaining them. I want people to enjoy being educated. I want people to have a lot of fun and have a community around them while they learn, which will give them the chance to more likelihood that they'll actually do the thing. In the beginning, I wanted to teach, I wanted to entertain, but like I tried a little column A, column B, and now coming back together, it's like, oh, let's make learning fun. It when it's usually a slog, and then let's do it all together because it's more fun that way. And that is now, every time I sit down to write, it's related to that.
Awesome.
So that's how they've changed. All right. We've got lightning.
Strike.
Oh, strike. Good job, Claire. All right. So, Claire, according to a recent Nielsen Book Data survey, more readers aged 14 to 25 searched YouTube for new books to read rather than TikTok. Does this surprise you? Do you care about this data?
I feel nothing in my soul. I guess it is kind of surprising that the age group of 14 to 25 is looking on YouTube instead of TikTok for books, considering the prominence of BookTok. But I think that in general, TikTok is a much better place to find a book you know you're going to like and not just a book that's popular, because it's a longer form and people will sit and they will talk about the book, and you can usually search the book, find a few different people talking about it. And so you're going to get a lot more relevant information. And I think probably some younger people have been burned by the books on BookTok. Maybe they're not as good or as quality, or they're not getting as much information. They just are, you know, they've bought a few based on it was a cool thing. Everyone was talking about this and they read it and they're like, oh, I don't like this at all. And that's not to say that books on BookTok aren't good. That's obviously not the case. It's just there's not enough information to make that decision. So I think the people in that age group want to, also you have to look at like 14 to 25. You don't usually make a whole lot of money at that age. So
correct.
You want to make sure that the books you buy are going to be books you really enjoy and you can get a much more thorough investigation underway on YouTube.
That totally makes sense. I'm a big YouTube viewer and they're usually these 8 to 12 minute chunks, and you can learn a lot in 8 to 12 minutes.
You can, certainly. Okay, Brian. How important is it for authors to be on social media these days?
I think authors need to be on social media if they enjoy social media. If authors don't enjoy social media, there's a lot that can be outsourced. There's a lot that can be handed off. There's a lot that can not be done. And I think that that is what folks need to keep remembering, that not every marketing platform or place where marketing can take place is something for you. You don't have to be everywhere. You have to be where your heart is. And you have to be where, you don't have to be, but maybe you could consider being where your heart is and where your joy is, because it's not just there's a joy of writing, there can be a joy of marketing too. And if you are feeling the opposite of joy when doing something with your marketing, and it's not just related to your overwhelm, then you might want to consider going somewhere else to do that marketing.
Well said.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So, Claire, how has the public image of indie publishing changed since you first started?
Wow. So the reputation of indie publishing has shifted quite a bit since I started. I guess I kind of started in 2012. I published my first book, Hybrid. I did a crowdfunding campaign to afford to do the hybrid publishing and never made that money back. Whoops.
Womp womp.
Yeah. But at that point, for me, it's never been about like, I don't think I could query and get this book taken by a thing. I don't want to deal with that process. So for me, I kind of have put my blinders on and been like, I don't care what people think about it. Like, I'm just going to do this and I'm going to make my money and like cry into my cash. Like, that was kind of my attitude. But I know that there are a lot of people who have or who used to avoid indie publishing because the reputation of these are people who couldn't make it in publishing, who no agent wanted to take. Just anyone can publish a book these days. Oh my gosh, not equal opportunity. So, you know, that has shifted, especially as we see indie books made into films, as, you know, the traditional publishing industry has maybe not been the healthiest in paying the authors what, you know, they would like to see. And so I think that people are realizing that this is an option. Yeah. And we see that with, you know, a lot of traditional published authors who are now taking their books independently, starting new series independently, where they aren't, you know, signed to a contract. And so I think the perspective is slowly shifting, but I know that that sort of like hoity-toity indie publishing isn't real publishing thing still exists to a great extent.
Right, right. It's the security blanket for them.
Right. And, you know, you don't have to dislike another way of being to just enjoy being the way you are. But some people haven't quite gotten that yet, so.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, Brian. If you could change one thing about the current state of indie publishing, what would it be and why?
If I could change one thing, Claire, about the current state of indie publishing, it would be to have less infighting, kind of what you just mentioned a second ago about you don't have to hate other ways of being just because it's not your way of being. That hating other ways of being and other ways of doing things leads to a lot of infighting in the indie publishing world. And what I wish is that there would be less bandwagon jumping of the mob mentality when someone says someone else should be canceled or someone says someone else is bad, for people to not just immediately try to pile on top of that and feel that energy. I always, always push for kindness within the communities that I run. And I found that those communities end up being more kind because the people in charge care about that. So I know that human behavior is very much into infighting, but what we need is leaders in indie publishing who actually want to prioritize less infighting. If that was happening, I think that there would be less infighting. So it's not just, let's change human behavior. It's let's leader up people Like, let's get our leaders to actually want this to be a better community and not just talk about it.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
Awesome. Well, that is good, Claire. You're still on the Christmas card list.
Good.
I know. Barely. Which is always really fun because we write a funny name for you guys. And that's why it's great. Every year. We're never going to change it. Okay. So, and it still gets to you. So that's what matters.
Somehow. Yeah.
Somehow. So, Claire, same question to you. If you could change one thing about the current state of indie publishing, what would it be and why?
Oh, boy. if I could go in and change one thing about the current state of indie publishing, it would be the expectations, the general expectations of authors, because that is what is making everyone feel miserable and then offloading some of that misery onto other people and scapegoats. The expectations for how quickly you're going to make money at this point in time, you're just starting out, I have noticed to be very, very high.
Right.
Way out of proportion with the reality. So we get frustrated when what we think should happen does not match up with what is. And it's that gap between the two that is proportionate to the amount of frustration we're experiencing. And so we can blame a lot of things, but the easiest way to get rid of that frustration is to lower those expectations. And I know that nobody wants to hear someone say, hey, lower your expectations. And that's how you succeed. But in a way, it is, because if you are frustrated, you are not going to stay in this industry. And the number one indicator of success in this industry is if you can stay in it. That is it. And so you need to look at the things that are wearing you down, that, you know, you're trying to press the gas, but parts of you are also pressing the brake and they are messing up the engine. So you want to really take a look at that. So I think that there's this desperation that's causing some of this, you know, not like anyone is bad or anything like that, but it's hard to be our best selves and keep our eyes on our own test when we're feeling desperate or that we've somehow failed or we should be farther along. All of that is just taking energy away from the task at hand, which is write the best book that you can in a way that you enjoy. So that is what I would change, is just some of the expectations, the general expectations that have been set.
I love that. And I totally agree with that one too.
Look at us.
Thick as thieves. So great. So, Claire, we need a question of the week. We were talking about the joy of writing. And while we had some interesting things and even an interesting question about changing indie publishing, we could talk about the joy, or we could throw that question back at everybody else. What do you think?
I think, and this is not just me being, efficient here, but I think we should throw that question back to everyone else, because I think it'd be really interesting to see what everyone else thinks is the current state of indie publishing and how they wish that was different.
Love it. So it is very efficient. If you could change one thing about the current state of indie publishing, what would it be and why? You can answer the question over at the Sell More Book Show After Party Facebook group or at sellmorebookshow.com. Liberated Writer course, liberatedwriter.com, starting in October. I'm going to be turning 41 in October. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
I'll send you a little DMB swag. Just a burned CD with number 41 over and over again.
Yeah, make sure it's a CDRW, please, case I want to add some music to it. So yeah, appreciate that. I had to dig deep into the brain for that information.
It's a deep cut.
Definitely a deep cut. Satellite. So, Claire, do you have anything else you want to share with the wonderful listeners today?
No, I just hope everyone has a great rest of the week. Like, really, just a rest of the week that just feels good. If you're not used to that, just experiment with it, you know?
Yeah, I love that. Let's tap into some joy, people.
Yeah, go get yourself a hammock if you don't already have one.
Oh, yeah.
Live that fall hammock life.
I think I'm going to go to get a haircut and a massage.
Oh, that'll work. That's basically a hammock.
I know, pretty much. Well, awesome. I think that's great to leave everybody with. For Claire, I'm Brian. Have a great week of book selling where you feel good. And we'll be back next week for episode 492. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Books Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy book selling.